welcome to Let's Talk About It, co-hosted by Maria Wyatt and Scott Dudley. Presented by Imperial County Behavioral Health Services and brought to you as a podcast by KXORadio.com.
Good morning, Imperial Valley. Welcome to your weekly wellness radio. Let's talk about it. We are brought to you by Imperial County Behavioral Health and KUBO 88.7 Radio Bilingue.
Just toss it off to me. Hi, you can always catch us on the podcast at KXORadio.com. And our phone number today is 760-337-8874. Brush the dust off your phone. Pick it up. Make a call. Welcome aboard.
I know.
Are you good now?
Yes, I am. It's just, you know, I was thinking about today's going to be a warm day. It's February, but it's going to be hot. I saw you when you came in wearing long sleeves. It's going to be
black.
It's been black. It's going to be like 82 degrees today, supposedly.
So we were like the forerunners of global warming. We like invented it here. So now we're sharing it with the rest of the world.
Well, there's people that don't believe in global warming.
They need to move. They need to move here.
That's another. show.
Yeah, we'll bring them here. Let them hang out for a while with no AC. Okay, welcome. Good morning. It is another show, and it is Let's Talk About It, and we're here. And so is Desiree Gonzalez. Desiree Gonzalez is a community outreach coordinator specializing
Prevention, alcohol and drug prevention specialist.
Yes.
Good morning, Desiree.
Good morning.
Now, we've got a whole new batch of young people in the world, teenagers, those kind of people.
And Valentine's is coming soon.
And this may be their first big brush with Valentine's stuff. And you're the person who helps them?
Well, everybody in the office will help them, but yes, I can help them. It's National Teen Dating Violence Awareness Month, February. And, it's such a big issue right now going on in schools, especially the high school level, but we're seeing it younger and younger. The average ages are anywhere from 12 all the way up to 23, 24.
Do parents have a right to set a dating age? I'm kind of hoping so.
I know. I hope you can say that, because
I'm thinking 12 is just a little bit too young.
Well, parents can always set a dating age.
Doesn't mean kids are going to follow.
Exactly. Parents are going to follow
Kids. The kids aren't going to follow it.
So date could be like any kind of stolen moment anywhere, huh?
Yes.
Like, I got to be home from school at 3:30, but would you walk with me?
Right.
Alone.
Exactly. It's up to interpretation what a date is exactly, but it can be something as simple as just walking somebody home.
I remember growing up, my dad was super strict and no dating was allowed. But, I did date. Even though it wasn't allowed. And you would never think of a teenager taking their boyfriend, my family taking my boyfriend with them. Outings or something like that. No. You dated. If you dated, it's because you're getting married to them, and that's it.
Okay, so if parents shut down dating like they did with you, then...
But I still dated.
Exactly. Then you can't just go ahead, as a parent, you can't just go ahead and make the assumption that it's not happening so we don't have to talk about some of the dynamics, right?
Correct.
So we're talking about them today.
Yes, we are. A lot of parents, I think everybody is guilty of assuming that their kid is more innocent than they really are. So, if they set rules for, you can't date till you're this age and so on.
Problem's taken care of, we can walk away.
Exactly. That's a lot. Believe it or not, a lot of people in the Valley, especially since we're such a small community, believe that, if I say don't do it, don't do it.
Yeah, having the highest rate in the nation of teen pregnancy kind of suggests that that's probably...
Exactly. We need to be more aware.
Yeah.
But that can also have an opposite effect, for parents who... They were young, too, and they did a lot of stuff they weren't supposed to, and now they have their own kids. And
so they say no dating, and they assume it works? Come on. That's where I have a hard time making the connection, I suppose.
Right.
So why teen awareness? Why is it an issue right here in the Valley?
It's a big issue in the Valley. I do presentations all over the Valley in different schools, the continuation schools, and... Every time during a presentation, you ask that question, do you know somebody or have you ever been in any type of relationship, unhealthy relationship, you know, that had violence in it, or have you witnessed it? And so many people, it seems like everybody's hand just shoots up and they're saying, well, yeah, I see it every day, or, you know, you see it in the on the TV shows that you watch and you hear it in the music that you listen to. So it just, it becomes normalized. So it seems like everybody, they see it, but they don't want to do anything about it. So they're a bystander who's kind of walking away.
Hmm. Well, I guess we need to start from the beginning. What is unhealthy? What is unhealthy? Because right now kids might be listening, or even parents might be listening and say, well,
I may be planning to marry somebody.
Exactly. And it turns out that I'm unhealthy. How would I know? You know, maybe that's all I know.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, for an unhealthy relationship, it can be anything as little as being jealous, you know, checking somebody's phone, checking somebody's Facebook, restricting what they can wear, who they can talk to. It doesn't just have to be physically hitting somebody or pushing somebody.
Mm-hmm. Doesn't that mean they love me?
Oh,
a lot.
That they just want me all to themselves.
So much that, yeah, they won't share.
Exactly.
And that's the mind frame that a lot of younger kids have nowadays. Like, oh, he got in a fight for me. That means he loves me. He's trying to protect me. Mm-hmm. When it's kind of like,
he's
no.
stalking me, or she's stalking me.
But I guess that would start from the family. I mean, why is that girl or boy acting the way, why do they feel they need that kind of relationship?
Right.
And maybe they're lacking that at home.
Right. I mean, and there's such a big correlation between domestic violence and teen dating violence. It, statistics show that if you witness teen dating violence or if you witness domestic violence, I'm sorry, in your home or, you know, around your friends or family, then more your risk, they shoot up. You know, it's a higher risk that you're going to be involved in some type of violent relationship or unhealthy relationship.
As opposed to being in a caring, loving family. That, wait a minute, no, you know, this is, you know, you can see, with my friends too, you know, you see relationships too, you know, the jealousy in the marriage, and sometimes the marriage doesn't work, it ends because of jealousy issues. But, you know, with me, you know, I trust my husband 100%, 200%, and, you know, he can go with his friends, and I know that, you know, The trust is there. So if children see that, the trust and the marriage and the caring, the loving.
You're setting their normal so that when they start dating and somebody acts jealous, they're like, got a problem.
Exactly. You got a problem. No.
Exactly. And, you know, that's why it's so important to, you know, kind of monitor what your kids are watching, what they're listening to. Because if they're, you know, watching Jersey Shore, obviously it's going to become normalized.
What's
to them.
That?
You don't know what Jersey Shore is, Scott?
What Jersey Shore is. I've never seen it. I mean, honestly, I've never seen it.
It's a show about young adults, right?
Correct.
My homeowners.
Young adults, they're partying. But
I know Snooki.
Everybody knows Snooki.
I just don't know.
In the situation.
Don't know the situation.
Scott, you're missing out.
Yeah. But I've never seen it. Just, you know, they come out or whatever in the red carpet, whatever. You see them, what? Oh, my God. They look not... Ooh, yuck.
Yeah, I know. But
those are the role models.
Too much
for
hair.
Exactly.
Too much oil on their hair, you know.
But yes, those are the role models that, you know, kids are growing up with today. And on so many episodes, you see them all getting
into
vibes.
Do you like Snooki t-shirts or whatever? That's kind of weird.
Well, she has slippers. She has her own brand of slippers.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
And all the kids are wearing them.
Yeah. I've seen them. So...
And this is bad because they have violent relationships.
Exactly. They have violent relationships. You see people, you know, getting in fights. You see them drinking too much. And if your kids continue to watch this kind of stuff, then it's going to become normal to them. You know, so...
No, so you don't watch this and just your stomach curdles and you go, God, I wouldn't want to be like them. Poor people. No? How do they make it look cool? I guess that's what I'm asking.
You know what? I have no idea how they make it look cool. I'm not a fan of the show, honestly, but there's so many people who are, you know, watching it. And
Mario's got a Snooki tattoo. Hang on.
I do have a Snooki tattoo. No, I just wanted to mention that it's right, you know, how that synthesizes teenagers in a way. Like, they look up to these people that are on TV for whatever reason.
Well, they got on TV, for starters.
Yeah.
Hello.
One of the things I just wanted to... yeah, it's money too, no? One of the things I just wanted to mention is that You know, you do see a group of teens walking around, or just, you know, like teenage, you know, these teenagers walking around pretending to be these people. You know, they dress like them, they act like them, you know, they're pretending that they're them, you know. And when they don't know, I mean, obviously you guys are talking more about this, but I just wanted to throw in my two cents about that, which is not good. It's not good. It's not a good influence for the kids.
Executive producer Mario Espinoza. 337-8874. We're here with Desiree Gonzalez. She's the community outreach coordinator.
Drug and alcohol prevention specialist.
Wow. That's a mouthful.
Two titles.
For whom do you do this?
The Sure Helpline Crisis Center.
Yay. Sure Helpline.
Which is where you call whenever you need Sure Help.
Yeah. Any type of crisis intervention.
Yeah.
Yep. Even like, I'm running out of gas, where's the gas station?
No, not
so
that
you,
type of.
You guys are like Siri. You're like Siri's, but like, on a landline, right?
Right, we're like Siri. We're 24 hours a day. Call, somebody is always going to answer. All of our volunteers are trained, certified by California. So everybody's in good hands.
Jess, what is Siri?
That's the lady on the phone.
On the iPhone?
Yes, the really new iPhone.
Yes, the 4 one, the 4GS or whatever.
4S.
I'm my uncoolish.
Yes, exactly. I go for people that.
Oops. Okay, so 337-8874. And okay, so I got a weird question. This is going to be really strange. Speaking of uncool. Okay, so
don't be surprised.
You go
okay.
to places and you ask, you know, how many of you experienced it, an unhealthy relationship, a relationship with some sort of violent parts to it, and every hand in the room goes up. That suggests it may be normal.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So if it's normal, are we really going to be able to stop it or prevent it? Or is it just the way it is?
Yeah, that's when a lot of prevention comes into play, actually, you know, because while you're trying, you're going to have to change, you know, something that's become normalized. If you go and you educate somebody, you know, on what an unhealthy relationship is versus a healthy relationship, you know, when you really talk to them, and it's a continuous effort that everybody has to make, which is why, you know, we have to raise awareness in schools, with parents, in the teenagers themselves, you know, in junior highs and elementary students. You have to get them young, and you really have to educate them and kind of reteach them, you know, what a healthy relationship is.
So it's just like smoking in the 60s then.
Exactly.
In the 60s, everybody smoked in school.
Then
it was normal.
You had to educate them.
Where's the ashtrays? The radio show. We should all be smoking. And now that's really weird.
Right.
So this is like the next smoking.
But how do you do it if it's at home and you see the domestic violence?
Just like but smoking used to be at home too.
I know. But, you know, you're in a family, you know, and you see the domestic violence, the dad.
Angry, controlling people, aren't they lovely?
Yeah. And then you go home and we try to educate the teenagers, and then they go home and they see it. Okay, so...
Which is why that's when parents come into play.
Works for mom and dad.
So we need to educate also the family, parents.
Right. It's a family issue. Like domestic violence, it's a family issue. Teen dating violence, family issue. You have to actually reach, you know, the core, which is where they come from, the foundation, which would be their parents, their families, you know, their guardians. And then you have to work with the teens. You know, you have to show them.
It's like that they say, the cycle of violence. We have to stop the cycle.
It takes an intervention. So.
Yeah, you know, I don't know. I think it's going to be an uphill battle, just kind of playing it out in my head. Well, here's the thing. Let's start with the demographics of the Valley. Okay. It is poor here. It is poor. We won the unemployment contest again for the entire nation. I'm like emailing it to all my friends going, we are number one.
Oh, my gosh. That's
you know, but we're number one like by 4%. So we are. It is super poor here.
Right.
You've got immigration pressure. You've got marginalization. You've got high electric bills in the summer. You've got a lot of additional stresses on poor people here. I was looking at mental health statistics for our valley last night because I'm one of those number geeky people.
Yes.
And if you're below the poverty level, or if you're below the poverty level, your chances of having a mental health problem are like fivefold. Even if you're a kid and your family is below the poverty level, it's 500 times higher chance of a mental health problem.
Wow.
So being poor is a huge stressor, and it blows people's mental health up. So if that's the case, then you've got all this kind of inherent stress Now, let's throw in cultural factors. I'm not saying that the whole machismo thing is a factor, but it's a factor. And you've got those two things running side by side. You've got a don't ask, don't tell version of youth sexuality.
Right.
That we pretend it doesn't exist, but our media is saturated with it, and our teen pregnancy rate is saturated with it.
Well, and plus, in our culture, you're not supposed to have sex until you get married.
Well,
you know, just, yeah. You know, that whole, I think there was an article in the newspaper, about quinceañeras. You know, that's whole, in, moving from childhood to adulthood.
The ship is sailing.
You know, yes, but you know, they wear the white dress, that you're still pure, you're virgin, everything, and you know, you continue to be that until you get married. At that time, you could get married at 15, in other words, for 16. But that's, you know, you still have that tradition, and not of marrying early, but you're going to keep your, you know, still abstain until marriage. Yeah. And that's still in the culture. And, oh my gosh, if you come out pregnant, you know, some...
Yeah, to me,
actually, it's not working because there's so many girls here in the valley getting pregnant. So. Exactly.
Yeah, exactly. But it's so violence and jealousy, and it's so interwoven in that the whole mix that we've got with the poverty and the culture and everything else. That's why every hand's going up.
Right. Right. You know, and it's not that it's just normal. No, but, you know, look at our valley. It's so small, and we have a high poverty level. We have a high drug use level. We have, you know, a high teen pregnancy level. And all of those are factors that can come from domestic violence or teen dating violence. You know, so whenever you're involved in this type of relationship, your risks, they shoot up.
So to me, it's like you really probably should do what you're doing, and that is talk to the teens and say, hey, you're surrounded by it, but that doesn't mean it has to be you.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Does that work?
It does in some cases, you know, but some are harder than others. Like I was saying, it takes a lot of work, and it is an uphill battle for us and, you know, everybody else who offers services in the valley for domestic violence, you know, because, like you said, we look around, what do we see? Poverty. We see drug use. We see teen pregnancy rates, you know. So it's really hard, but when you get a group of kids, especially if you have them for a long period of time, or you just do continuous education with them, you do see some type of a change. And, you know, if you can save one kid, then it's one kid that was saved. So.
Okay, so do you, the model that you work, is it like a coaching model where you guys go out and practice being nice to each other and come back and let's talk about it next week? How'd that work for you? Well, no, or do you just go out there and say, you know, throw up slides of black eyed people and say stop?
Okay, just say no.
Well, yeah, yeah, no.
You know, basically the model we go by is we go with what works for the kids. It depends on, you know, what the group of kids is. If it's continuation, obviously it's going to be different than a regular high school. Because they say...
More stress, more pressure,
exactly.
More violence.
Yeah. Exactly. So, with the continuation kids, we have to be really open and straightforward and honest with them. And even though they say they know, you know, that they're not supposed to do this, they're not supposed to hit a girl, they're not supposed to hit a boy, they're not supposed to push them, so on, they still, when you ask them, have you done it, they raise their hands. Because everybody has been guilty of doing it at least once. And, you know, it's like I said, it's not just hitting and pushing, but, you know, calling them out of their name.
Which reminded me, talking about that, the whole New Jersey thing, it was another, I think it's on MTV too. The Teen Mom. You know,
7:30 Eastern time.
Oh. Yeah, no. Yes, and I know this because it came out in the news, and I was watching some other news. She was also involved in domestic violence, and actually she was the one that was hitting... Wasn't it?
The guy. Right.
So it's not just the guy hitting the girl. It's also the girl
Maria,
hitting
wait,
the
wait,
guy.
Wait. I think you're confused. MTV stands for music television. That's
well,
the
they
show,
don't do
that's
that
the,
anymore.
That's the channel
sorry.
That shows music videos.
No,
you haven't.
That means that you haven't watched
no,
it
like
a long time.
No, it's like they show Sting and Madonna and they show.
That was in the 80s. In the 90s.
You're showing your age, Scott.
Yes. They don't have them anymore, that logo with the astronaut with a flag. No, that's not it anymore.
Martha Quinn's gone?
Oh, yeah. Oh, my gosh, yes. But yeah, it's, and again, they, it seems like they glamorized, because they come out on TV.
Exactly.
And they probably earn money. They get money for coming out on TV. He's on teen moms, you know. And one of them was involved in domestic violence.
Right. And that just goes to show, you know, it doesn't discriminate. You know, anybody can be a victim of domestic violence or teen dating violence, whether it be a girl or boy, whether they're gay, straight, you know, lesbian. It doesn't matter if you're rich or poor. Anybody.
Did you see that there was a study?
Here again. Here comes Scott.
Mr. Study Guy. There was a study that came out on children of lesbian parenting couples, and it was a remarkable study. Because the rate of abuse of children of lesbian couples in this study, medium-sized study, it wasn't huge, but it was pretty big. The rate of abuse, 0.0%. Amazing. So,
you know, you're getting in trouble saying that because, you know, the county, you know, the Prop 8 thing, you know, so we'll go into that.
The currently declared unconstitutional Prop 8?
Yes, but the county people here in the Valley still want to push it.
The Lucy, you can't take the football away once you put the football out?
Yeah.
Prop 8?
Yes. So let's move on.
Okay, moving right on. 337-8874 is the phone number. Desiree Gonzalez is the guest. She's a community outreach coordinator, alcohol and drug prevention specialist.
Yeah.
Good job, Scott. You got it.
Person.
Oh, my gosh. From Sure Helpline.
Yeah. And it's the month of the Valentine's Day heart, and we're talking relationships, mostly teen relationships, and violence inherent in that, pretty much.
Yes. And going back to it, you know, kids might get into relationships because they don't have that at home.
Right.
You know, that they sometimes, and they find somebody, and it turns out that it's not all, you know, the fairy tale relationship.
Well, there's a lot of pressure around there that says, you know, as soon as you're old enough, if you're not in a relationship, you're just not cool or not, you know, that's
pretty.
Like,
right. They have a lot of pressure.
It's like an accessory. It's yes. Like a nice designer handbag.
But, I mean, it starts again from the family. If that you, that teenager, doesn't have that at home, that caring and loving family, that somebody they know.
They're
even
hungrier.
Yes,
they're
even hungrier.
They're going to find somebody who will show them that. Mm-hmm. You know, the same thing with gangs. You know, why do people join gangs? Because they don't have that love coming from home. They don't have that nurturing coming from home. And while it may not be positive coming from gangs, they still have it.
Well, but okay, so you could, like, go back a step and say, well, why don't they have it in the homes? And you could say, well, because those people were raised in environments that probably didn't have a lot of
exactly
it either.
Exactly the same way.
It because it's really,
cycle.
Really poor
it's
here and
cycle.
Nobody's got jobs and we're all stressed out. You know, hello.
Right. It's a cycle, you know. And another thing is, you know, teenage girls, they might feel the pressure of being in a relationship. They look around, their friends are in a relationship.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
Exactly. And so they just jump into the relationship
it's
with anybody
women,
who shows them attention.
It's just to
value
have
the
value.
Of your worth. Yes.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Especially, you know, that means that a boy likes you. You know, that's, you have somebody that's likes you and you're attractive and you're
maybe
pretty.
All I'm
and
worth is being liked by this really nasty, irritable, grouchy person.
It could
at least you have that.
At least
that's
you, exactly.
It's something.
It's something that you have.
Right.
Is there a way to raise a young woman so she doesn't, like, buy into that?
Yes.
Help?
Yeah.
Help?
Yes.
Because you guys are young women. How's it work?
Right. You have to teach them self-esteem and confidence. You know, if they believe in themselves and they see themselves as being a good person who, and they have, you know, some type of confidence in them, then they're, you know, less likely to get involved in some type of relationship like that because they know that they're valued more than what they're being given.
So just kind of keep stressing that. Man, it's going to be hard.
It's hard.
Yeah.
It's hard. It's hard because even my daughter goes, you know, I want to put something on her. She goes, no, it's not beautiful enough. I'm like, okay.
Right. And, you know, even with my nieces, I have twin nieces and I love them to death, but they come, Aunt Des, am I pretty? Of course you are. You know, they still have that doubt even at a young age.
I know. It starts like that.
So the correct answer is you're beautiful. Everyone's beautiful, but that's not that important. What's really important
exactly.
is you're smart.
Exactly. What's inside that counts. So,
and teach him some karate. No.
or something.
Right.
But yeah, it is. It is. It's difficult. It's difficult. You go back to get into the poverty levels, and you know what can kids do? You know, you need money to do stuff, and when there's no money,
yeah, there's nothing to do. I'm gonna go get a girlfriend.
Yeah, and just yeah, that's all they do. They hang out. They do what is it, kickbacks, and just.
And then they grow up and do it in the owl. There you go.
There you go.
That's a good song. All right. That's like a good time for a break. This is Let's Talk About It. We're sponsored by Imperial County Behavioral Health. It is top of the hour. Go clock in. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Let's Talk About It, presented by Imperial County Behavioral Health Services. A 5 to 6 minute highlight podcast of the same show is available on KXORadio.com.
Welcome back. You're listening to Let's Talk About It, your weekly wellness radio for Mexicali and Imperial Valleys. We are brought to you by Imperial County Behavioral Health and KUBO 88.7 Radio Bilingüe. We are brought to you by... What are you... Scott is doing something. Our phone number here at the station is 760-337-8874. And don't forget to access our podcast on kxoradio.com. And also, you can see the shows are coming up on, if you go online, on ivpressonline.com.
Really?
Yes. You can see, you know, it says, Let's Talk About It, and you click there, and you can see the shows for this month.
Or you could just listen every week, because there's something cool.
Well, you can go, you know, you can go online. If you're going to Ivy Press Online, you can just go and see the what shows are going to be showing up, and then you can put it on your iPhone or whatever, smartphone, and put it on the calendar and a reminder, and... Here we are, or of course the podcast.
I'm working with a curandera to get a show on appreciative inquiry, so not to jinx it or anything, but
from the leadership,
we're nailing it down. Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry. I was totally distracted because you guys have like matching cool shoes on, and I was like, whoa, hey, there's four shoes of the same kind of shoe underneath the table. It was enough to throw me.
No, it's just the color.
No.
You don't know the difference.
There's two different styles.
Exactly,
here.
Totally different. Just the color. Not even.
Walk
the,
on a limb.
Not
and
even
somebody
it's the
walks
color.
Over with a saw and
yes,
just
yes. You only got the color right, but everything else is different.
It's different.
Okay.
Men.
That's why they don't send us out to buy them. Huh?
Exactly. Men.
That's why we take them out.
Welcome back. 337-8874 is the phone number. Desiree Gonzalez, Community Outreach Coordinator, Drug and Alcohol Prevention Specialist.
For the Sure Helpline.
Yes.
Is the guest.
Yes.
And
welcome
we're talking
thank you.
Teen violence, teen dating violence. Particularly
awareness.
Relational violence. Yes.
Yeah. We want to prevent that. We want to educate them. We want that, you know, not to be a month anymore.
Right, yeah, that'd be cool. So you're saying it's really common. Give us a peek behind the curtains. What does it look like?
We do a lot of community education, so we go into a lot of different schools, especially high schools, and like I was saying, the continuation schools. A lot of people aren't very open to come forward with it, but, you know, just...
Because ultimately it is not cool.
Exactly. You know, because it's something, it's shameful, you know, to some people. And so, you know, just... Last week, I believe it was, I was doing a presentation, and a teacher, the topic came up, and a teacher was like, you know, you presented so well, like, I just had a student come up to me, you know, the other day saying this is a situation. And, you know, there's been multiple cases like that. You know, we do a presentation, and then somebody comes up to talk to us and say, I think I need help. I think I have a problem with it, you know.
And what kind of stuff typically is going on?
A lot of it's the jealousy, the pushing, the threats, you know, checking the cell phone, checking the Facebook, controlling. And there's just so much that goes into it, you know, and we hear these stories and we're just like, oh my goodness, like, what can we do? Like, how can we help? And there are a lot of kids who see it, you know, well, I saw it in my family, mm-hmm. you know. They see it coming from home. They see it coming from an aunt, a brother, a sister, an uncle, you know, a parent. And so they're saying, I don't like it. I know it's not right, but I'm in the same situation.
But it's got to stop somewhere. Yeah. I think mm-hmm. that's probably is that your message to kids? You know,
right.
it may have all this background. It
right.
may be, you may be surrounded by it.
But they have the chance to break the cycle, you know, and the cycle of violence, it's so vicious, you know, and it's just continuous. You go from the honeymoon stage to the building tension to the blow up back to the honeymoon because, you know, the people who are actually perpetrating these victims are saying, oh, I'm sorry, I'll never do it again, I've changed.
It's because I love you so much.
It'll never happen, I love you. But the most common thing in every conversation that you have with somebody like that, they always throw the blame back, and they say, but if you didn't do this, you wouldn't have got me mad, and I wouldn't have done it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it goes back to the blaming part.
Or if you didn't have the whole kind of self-esteem thing in the beginning to be thinking that that was okay.
Exactly.
Right? Like, I mean...
Yeah, I mean, just I just can't imagine, you know, somebody trying to hit me. I go, oh, no, you did not do that. I go, oh, no, uh-uh. Probably I would defend myself.
What's the Spanish thing? Like, mejor sola que mal acompañada, right? So
yes.
Wouldn't so better alone than with bad company.
Yeah. Right.
So should be like the
But then again, you know, that's why kids, you know, get into that relationship because they are alone and they don't want to be alone and they've never had
right.
Probably.
So exactly. Better alone has to be sold.
Exactly.
Yes.
Exactly. Better alone has to be sold, you know. And just from my personal experience, you know, I was in a teen dating violence relationship. Mm-hmm. And it didn't go on very long, and it wasn't as serious mm-hmm. as most cases get. But, you know, I took the pushing. I took the name calling. I took the talking down to the comparing, you know, the jealousy. I took all of that in. And did it change me as a person? Yes, it did. Did I let it define who I am? No, I didn't. But it did give me the drive to want to help these other kids so they don't have to go through the same situation.
So why did you stay in it?
Why did I stay in it? Because it was somebody. You know, I had somebody there. And while I had a loving family at home, I always wanted something else. You know, so that's why I stayed.
You wanted an accessory.
Exactly. I wanted an accessory.
They love me just because I'm family.
Exactly.
You know, so this person
I want somebody
to
love me because
I'm cute
they love
or smart
me.
Or yeah. Whatever, right?
Exactly. Okay, so it was like an accessory, you know. So you know, that ultimately, that was one reason I
bring magic into their life. Or something.
How about, I mean, Share Helpline is open 24 hours, 7 days a week, 365 days. They never stop. They never sleep. They always
And everybody's got cell phones now, right?
Yes, cell phones. Are you getting calls? I mean, do kids call?
Yeah. You know, we get a lot of kids calling for different issues. A lot of drug and alcohol. We have a lot of teen dating violence. Our sexual assault line, we do have that, which is 24 hours a day. And for most of the calls on our SART line, most of them are teenage girls. You know, it's very sad to see, but most of them are in anywhere between the ages of, you know, 14 and 23. So, and it's most of the time it's by somebody that they know, that they trusted.
So, wow. You know.
So most of the calls are from women 14 to 20, young women 14 mm-hmm. to 23, who have been sexually assaulted.
Right.
By someone whom they know.
Right. And that's on our sexual assault line. On our crisis line, we do have a wide range of people who do call. But our sexual assault line, most of the times when we're responding to the hospital, it is going to be a female between the ages of 14 and 23.
It's like the red flag years or what? It's a danger, huh?
I guess that's when they start, you know, they
and
go into high school.
And it's people you know.
No, mm-hmm. And people you trust.
You know, everybody, when you get into high school, actually now in junior high, you know, everybody has, a lot of kids have boyfriends and girlfriends and, you know, just
and stalker uncles and
oh no,
but well because you said it's people you know
right
that includes
right.
family
and
right
that includes family exactly and you know it's sad to say the majority of the time it is somebody you know whether it's in the family or it's a boyfriend so what's going on behind that you know more than likely you can dig in deep enough and find a case of domestic violence or teen dating violence.
So relational violence can shift over or cross over into sexual violence.
Yes, mm-hmm. Yes. It puts you at a big risk for it, including child abuse. If you're abused as a child, your chances of being either in a violent relationship or being the perpetrator of a violent relationship, they skyrocket.
What's abuse? Does that mean I had working parents who didn't pay attention to me? Does that mean somebody spanked me when I was bad? What do you mean?
Abuse.
It can be many things.
Yeah, it's open to interpretation. You
but
know?
But okay, so something, so
it could be emotional.
It sounds like
it
well,
can be
a lot of it.
Emotional, yeah, physical, sexual. You know, it's a lot of.
My parents divorced, and I was the little grown up in the house. Ooh, that one too, huh?
Well, you should never rob a kid of their childhood. So if they have,
right,
if they feel they have to take responsibility.
But inevitably, in single parent homes, if you got a child of the opposite sex, that person gets you know, go mow the lawn, little boy. Because Papa's not here, right? Well, or, you know, hey, daughter, go cook me breakfast.
No, it's like this, you know. My husband says, you always bring me up. It's like this, you know. He goes,
it's a good reason
he
not
goes,
to
no, yeah, he goes, well, you know, he goes, we can always, when I tell him, you know what, that grass is way too long. You need to cut it. And he's like, how about, he goes, I'll clean the kitchen. You go mow the grass. No. You mow the grass better. I'll clean the kitchen.
Oh, yeah. It's just kind of a natural order of things.
I mean, it's not the order. We can do that. We can do that, but I just don't.
You know, that brings up a good point.
Better not to.
I'm not going to do that. It's too hot.
Brings up a good point. How do you decide in a culture, how do you decide what are okay kind of rules, like, you know, the guys cut the grass, versus not okay kind of rules, like, once a young woman turns 14, it's first come, first serve.
Well, you know, a lot of that plays into gender norms. You know, we grow up with so many stereotypes saying, oh, guys have to be macho. They're the tough ones. They're the providers. You know, and then the girls, most of the time, I was doing a presentation actually this week, and it was so funny because gender norms came up. And I asked them, what's a guy's part in a relationship? What's their responsibility versus the girls? And all the guys in there say, well, the girls are supposed to be the ones making the sandwiches. And I was like, okay, explain it. And they're like, yeah, they do all the inside work. They clean the kitchen. They cook. And the guys, they just hang out with their friends and they go wherever they want. And I was just like, wow, like, is that really what you guys have learned, you know, and where are you learning this behavior from? But I think gender norms play a big role in, you know, why.
Because if the gender norm is I protect what's mine, or, you know, something weird like that, then all of a sudden you're in that place.
Exactly. And it's like, I protect what's mine. Now they feel like they own the other person, which is unhealthy, too, because obviously they don't own somebody.
There is a, and I couldn't believe it, I mean, in this date and age, and just there's a show again. TV, TV influences us a lot. There's a reality show about these a whole culture, gypsies, and how the women and men are the roles. You know, the men can do whatever they want, and I think a lot of these women, the gypsies, at 15 they get married, and they stop going to school, and they live in a trailer. Some of them, and they just provide for the husband. That's it.
And
that's, you know, that's
I'm
all they.
I'm waiting to hear the problem with
that's,
it.
That's, you know, that's, and there's a lot of, and it's come out that there's a lot of violence in there, and, you know, just.
You know, you ever notice on reality TV, nobody ever actually watches TV? So it's not really reality, is it? If you guys are sitting around watching all these shows.
I know. Well, it's tape recorded. So, anyway. But just, you know, it's in different cultures, not just our culture, too.
But
it's in different cultures that women are supposed to, you know, take care of their men, and as opposed to each other, we're supposed to take care of each other, you know. I take care of my husband. He takes care of me. He goes and cuts the grass.
in the kitchen.
and I'll clean the kitchen because I am very OCD. He doesn't do it the way I like it. He can do it, but he doesn't do it the way I like it.
That's actually a trick we use to get out of having to do it.
Yeah, probably.
Do it wrong a couple times, and they're going to take it over for you. Okay.
Well, good job.
So how do we let's target the kids here? How do you target young men and say, young men acting this way is not cool? You may feel like it, you may want to, you may have grown up around it, but it's not cool. You are a loser if you act angrily, controlling, vindictively weird,
right?
With your partner, how do you sell that?
You know,
when it's all around them,
right? It's all around them.
Doesn't matter. It's still not cool.
Mm-hmm. Exactly, and you know, it's hard, and it takes a lot of work, and you know, like I use the continuation schools a lot because I do work with the continuation schools a lot. But even with those boys, they do have some sense of what's right and wrong. You know, even with Wilson Junior High, I work with some of the kids there, and they can tell you, they can sit around and tell you, like, you know, oh, I do this, this, and this, but I would never hit a girl, I would never push a girl, but you ask them, do you call them a name? You know, that's not theirs, and that could be hurtful.
You mean like darling?
Well, that can be hurtful, you know, and I'm not going to get into those words because I don't want to get in trouble.
Yeah, we don't want you to get in trouble. Exactly. Perfect.
But, you know, and they're like, well, yeah, I've done that. I'm like, okay, well, that's still violence. You know, it's unhealthy for you to call them
that.
Well,
it's not cool. But, you know,
it's not cool, right. It's not cool. And, you know, when you work with them enough, they kind of start to see that, you know. But a lot of boys, believe it or not, even though our, you know, statistics are so high with teen dating violence, they do know what's right from wrong. And you just kind of have to show it to them in a different way.
So it's stopping the behavior. It's not that they, in their head, they think the behavior is okay. It's that somehow the behavior just comes out.
Exactly. You know, so, I mean, they know right from wrong. It's just how they choose to react to certain situations.
What should we do instead? Okay, so maybe we could substitute a better behavior for the bad behavior. So we're feeling jealous.
Right, you're feeling jealous.
Because, you know, it happens, right? Mm-hmm. Whatever.
So, I mean, you're feeling jealous, you know, instead of running to yell at your girlfriend, you know, or boyfriend and checking their phones and Facebooks, you know, talk to them about it. Communication. That's a big key issue that needs to be brought up to everybody is communication, because without mm-hmm. communication, you can't have a healthy relationship. It doesn't work. So you teach them how to talk to, you know, their partner.
So, like, I don't mean to be weird, but I'm feeling really jealous right now. And maybe it's just my own insecurity, but I think other people like you and they're trying to steal you away. Would that be weird to say that? Kind of, huh?
No, because people do say that.
I go, no, it isn't, but it's going to be hard to hear. But yeah,
it's
going to
be hard to say. Because you're already feeling insecure. You're already feeling weak. And right. and the tendency, I think, especially if you're a guy, is to go back in and try and control that.
Yeah. Right.
And so beat
macho.
It up.
Exactly. By macho, yeah, physical.
So to actually go to almost a weaker place and say, I'm feeling really vulnerable. Whoa. You know.
Yeah. You know, obviously, nobody would ever say
that. They must have to practice that a lot before anybody actually says it.
Right. It'd take a lot for them to say that.
Yeah.
You know, but there's different ways around it. You can just. And even if you ask the same questions, if you ask them in a different tone of voice, you know, using different words, it's the same question. You're not feeling as vulnerable.
So I really, really, really care about you, and sometimes it wants to come out as jealousy, and I'm trying to avoid that. How about if I say it that way?
Yeah, but, you know,
because jealousy's not cool, and I love you a lot, but I don't want to be mean to you, and I don't want to be controlling and stuff. Am I in a better place there?
It's still going to be hard to do that, because I'm thinking back again, okay, where is this teenage boy learning this from? Is it at home? Going back, for those men that have been convicted of domestic violence and they have to go to domestic violence classes, I think the whole family needs to go to domestic violence classes, you know. If you go to those classes with the men are or women are or whatever, the whole family needs to get help, because it's not going to stop.
Right.
Because you can teach so much to these
youth, and
it's going to be really hard.
What does a guy do when he's feeling jealous and he's 17 and he's full of weird hormonal drives anyway? And because you are, I think you probably are going to feel jealous.
Mm-hmm.
And so the trick then isn't like, I'm going to, you know, never feel jealous. It's that I'm going to manage my jealousy in some sort of of peaceful, proactive, good relationship way.
Right, right. And we're not saying that being jealous is a horrible thing, because everybody it's normal, right? It's just the way that you react when you have that jealousy feeling.
So what's a guy to do?
What's a guy to do?
Walk away.
walk away. Take a walk. Exactly.
Take a time out.
Take a time out.
Yeah. So don't say anything.
Don't punch a wall. Take a walk. You know, use your energy on something else. And then when you're calmed down, come back and try and, you know, talk out the situation. Like I said, communication. We do need to
teach. You guys didn't like my opening lines, though. How do I bring it up to a girl in a way that the girl is going to not be okay with? Say, how do I bring it up with a girl in a way that the girl's going to go, wow, this is the guy I want. He is so fantastic. This is exactly what I wanted in a guy. He's jealous. He cares about me, but he's not weird about it, and he's not mean about it. What's that look like?
Don't know yet.
We're working on that.
Insider secret.
We're working on that. No, I mean, it, like, it, that depends on the person, how they deal with it. You know, how is a guy supposed to respond to their jealousy? Obviously, I'm not a guy, so I don't have that whole macho mentality in me. But
and you're not like the... Like regular guys, I mean Scotty.
but I can say beyond a doubt as a guy that jealousy is totally normal. Okay, mm-hmm. It's totally normal.
Right, and you can just be, you know, ask. You know, I can't stress that enough.
Could we teach coping thoughts? That occurs to me that might be a good idea. So every time I feel jealous, I tell myself, jealousy. If I express my jealousy right now, it's only going to push me farther apart from my person. It's only going to mistreat somebody who I really actually care for. So, and just thinking those coping thoughts gives, and maybe then what you said, you know, so let me take a time out, let me mellow out here, and then I'll come back and do something nice for that person to show them I care, rather than, you know,
let's
act
just start
right
with
now.
A timeout first.
Yeah. Okay, let's start with a timeout, okay? You take a timeout to kind of, you know, calm down, you think about it. But it's really important that you ask the person because it could be something that you totally misinterpreted.
Sure.
You know, and everybody's guilty of misinterpreting something at one point or another. But if you go up to the person, you take your time out, and then you go up to the person, you're like, okay, this is what I heard. Like, I just want to know, is it true or is it not true? This is what bothers me about it. You know, and I think that's manageable, but it does still take work when working with these guys or these girls because they're so used to just kind of acting out on their jealousy
when they hear a rumor or something about it.
Because it's a reactive emotion.
Exactly.
When you feel it, you do. Mm-hmm. You don't think, you do.
Exactly. Yeah. Which is why I say we need to, you know, teach these people communication skills, and you have to, you know, teach them to ask the questions that they need to ask, not just jump to conclusions.
Can you sit down with them and say, okay, how many people have reacted when they felt jealous and get all the hands in the room going up, and then say, how did that work for you? Did it help your relationship? Did it hurt your relationship? Did you feel good about what you did later on when you think about it, knowing right from wrong, as you suggested? Does that help people kind of wake up to the fact that it's kind of just not a very good path?
Yeah, believe it or not, it does. A lot of people are visual learners. So when they see, like, this is how
guys
it affected
are totally
them.
Visual. Hello.
Exactly. So when you're in these presentations and, like, you see all these hands shoot up on how it affected different people and you hear it, it does have some sort of effect on them, whether it be for just that moment in time or something
so they
that
realize can do everybody else has this too.
What right. do you make that definition between, you know, do you ever ask, how about in your family? Have you had domestic violence? How many kids?
And once
compared.
Again,
a lot of them,
a lot of kids, you know, in their
family.
And
do you like it? And is it fun? And is that the way you want to be in your relationship? No? Okay.
So what is it
that
you need to do?
You now. Uh-huh. Exactly. You know, they have to kind of know, you know, what's going on in their family. They have to realize what's going on in their family situation. But still, you do have a heightened risk because you see it so much and it does become normal. But you may swear up and down, I'm never going to do that. I'm never going to be like that. I don't want to be like that person. I don't like that person.
And then you're going to be
yet
jealous.
You find yourself,
yes.
Yet you find yourself reacting in the same ways because that's what you've learned and that's what you see. You know, so it goes back to re-educating them. Okay, this is what you saw. This is what you know. So let's go back to this. How are we going to change it? You know, and that's when you start breaking the cycle with these people.
I would think some of that's just kind of normal relationship maturation. Because, again, we do live in kind of an angry, acting-out society.
Right.
And it's all over TV, and it's all over inside our houses and everywhere else. And so you've got some young people. I would say every young person's going to be angry. Every young person's going to react poorly to jealousy in the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
Commonly. I mean, where are you going to find a 15-year-old that's, like, really cool with jealousy?
You're not. And, you know, and that is one problem, is so many people jump into relationships before they're ready.
Not for me.
You know, they're not ready to be in a relationship, yet they
right,
see
but
everybody
but
around them,
but it's like a bike
so
with training wheels.
Right.
So whenever you start relationships.
As you learn, you get more experience, you know, then you learn how to deal with these different types of relationships.
So I'm betting that if you didn't start relationships until you were 23, like I expect my daughter to do.
good luck.
Good luck.
Let us know how that goes, Scott.
She already got like 5 guys who like her, okay? So, and she's in 5th grade. But
I can beat you. I already have my 5-year-old saying who she wants to marry.
Yeah, no. That's the angle I'm pushing against. Don't pick yet. Pick when you get to med school, right?
Oh, yeah.
But so if she started at 23, she'd probably still have to learn how to cope with jealousy, because you don't really get jealousy until you start practicing relationships.
Mm-hmm, right.
And so whenever your first time is, whenever you start getting in relationships, you're going to have to learn and practice jealousy. Because right. It's a brand new emotion. It grabs you in weird ways that you've never
been
grabbed.
But then that person would be more mature.
Yeah, but you encounter jealousy when you're even young. You're little. You know, the jealousy
somebody
between
takes
siblings.
My toys away.
No, yeah, siblings. You know, jealousy between siblings. You know,
they
mom
see
is
their
being,
mom with a new baby.
New baby. You know, the whole. That's when parents need to teach them, you know, no, I love you just as much as I love the new baby. You know, and then chair time, you know, you have to. Divide your time.
Sweetheart, jealousy isn't cool. I'll talk to you when you've calmed down. Something like that, huh?
It's something that we learn very young.
I don't hang out with jealous people. Sorry.
Right. You know, you experience jealousy as a young kid, you know, as young as being, you know, a year or 2 years old. You know, you can start experiencing jealousy, and you may not know what the emotion is called at the time, but you're still feeling it, and you have those feelings. But, you know, even if a person waits till they're 23 to date, yeah, they're still going to have to, you know, kind of learn how to be in a relationship, but they'll be more mature.
This is all back to mine, huh? So there is this kind of ownership possession thing with jealousy.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So whenever you think of something, whether it's a toy or a 10 mom's attention or that really cool girl, I finally got that go out with me or whatever, then it's still the whole, I don't want people taking my...
Yes, right. Whatever, you know, my...
Right, yikes. It's the possession.
Yikes.
The possession.
And that's something that's also really pressed in our society, right? Mm-hmm. We're supposed to have nice possessions and get lots of them, and that makes us cool.
Right.
Desiree, you go around to schools and do this, right?
Yes.
If schools are interested in hooking up with your presentation and doing something for their young people so that they're safer, who can they call? What do they do?
They can call us at the SURE helpline, 760-352-7878. That is our administration line. They can call. One of us will always answer again. And
will your other schools get jealous if other new schools start calling?
Well, I hope not. That's what we're teaching.
Well, no, you know what? That's good. That's a good jealousy. Yeah. Hopefully that, you know.
They all want us. Exactly. You know, that's good for us.
Yeah.
But no, they just call. They say, hey, I'm interested in having presentations. What topics do you provide? And then we can send them a list of all the presentation topics we provide, which is basically anything and everything dealing with crisis intervention. And, you know, we just schedule a presentation and we'll see how it goes.
But and then, you know what? You can use this podcast too.
Here. Podcast.
Are you going to do that? Are you going to like link? Do you guys have a website?
Right now our website
SureHelp.
Is
dot something.
Yeah, it was surehelplinecrisiscenter.org, but it is under construction right now. We're trying to fix it up.
Virtual
it
construction.
Cool. Yeah.
And then not a
so then once it's up, you could actually put links not only to this radio show, but to all the KXO, all the Let's Talk About It shows, because that's kind of
hooked up
with SURE Helpline, huh?
Yes, we can. So, you know, as soon as our website's back up, we probably will have these other links that you can click on and you can go to that will link you with
us. Get more information.
You guys got anything else going on? Children's Fair is coming up sometime, isn't it?
Yes, I believe
it's
in March.
You guys do
March.
Stuff there too, huh?
Yes. We always have a booth at the Children's Fair. We always have some type of activity. So
it'll be fun.
We will be there.
We'll see you there.
Yes.
But we won't be jealous with each other. Okay.
No.
Okay.
No,
even though
we're
you're
sharing.
Out talking to
sharing is caring.
Sharing is caring. Like Barney taught us.
I know.
Barney. Oh, your date. You're making. I had no idea you were that old.
Purple dinosaur.
Thanks for listening to Let's Talk About It. We're sponsored by Imperial County Behavioral Health Services, from Mario on the board to Desiree in the guest chair.
Yes.
Maria and I, have a great weekend, and we'll catch you next week.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
You've been listening to Let's Talk About It, heard each Thursday morning at 7:30 a.m. on KGBO 88.7 FM, Radio Bilingue. presented by Imperial County Behavioral Health Services and brought to you as a podcast by KXORadio.com.